Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Vayetze, and many of you are celebrating having a day off because of today's secular holiday, I certainly hope you're using it in the Beis Medrash. Makes no sense that a Ben Torah runs in the Beis Medrash, goes to work, and when he goes to work, we understand he's not in the Beis Medrash. When you have a day off, you belong back in the Beis Medrash. I want to thank those who joined me this morning for the Hakel Shiurim in our shul, and hope that more and more of you will use your day off the way you should. Let's begin talking about Parshas Vayetze by discussing the very beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha, of course, Yaakov Avinu leaves the house of his father and heads to Charan. In Birchas HaGeshem, we say the Chor Ta'un Makloiva over Yardei Mayim. We mention Yaakov Avinu as a source by saying, Hashem, remember he who carried his stick and crossed the Yarden. Kibamakli Avarti as the Yarden Hazeh. Rav Druk explains what was the source of Ta'un Makloi. Why mention that he carried his stick? What does carrying his stick have to do with his source? So Rav Druk explains that by teaching us the Da'as V'Kein and Balei Taisus on the Parasha. We find that Yaakov Avinu had nothing left, only his stick, when he crossed the Yarden. And yet, at the beginning of the Parsha, he sets up a stone as a matzeva, by Yitzay Shemen, and he pours oil, al Rosha, on the top of the stone. The obvious question is, if Eliphaz took all he had, and all he had was a stick, where did the oil come from? How did he have oil to pour on the stone? Now, Sekhana Balitaisis answered that in the stick, Yaakov Avinu kept a storage of oil. He kept oil stored in his walking stick. Why would anybody in his right mind keep oil stored in a walking stick? Thus again, Bartesius explains that Yaakov Avinu wanted to have oil available to him so that when it gets dark, he should be able to continue learning. And therefore, wherever he went, he took oil, a supply of oil, so that he could learn at all hours. Where was the oil hidden? The makloi in his stick. And therefore, he had the oil to pour upon the mizbeach. This reminds me of something I once heard B'Shem Rav Shach. Rav Shach, in his later years, had difficulty seeing. And he once explained why he thinks it is that Min HaShemayim, he has difficulty seeing. He said it's an einish of something that happened in his youth. In his younger years, when he was in yeshiva, Rav Shach said that he was a shy person, a shy Talmud. The policy of the yeshiva was that they gave each student a candle for night seder. There were no electric lights. The yeshiva lights were poor. What they did was they gave each Talmud a candle, which he would use to be able to learn during night seder. If a Talmud learned extra light, he stayed in the Beis Medrash longer, he was entitled to an extra candle. But he had to go to the Mashgiach to ask for it. It was a very poor yeshiva, as most of it was. And you really had to make your case to be able to get your extra candle. Rav Shach said, he said, I was a very shy person, and I wouldn't go over to the Mashgiach and ask for the extra candle. On Friday nights, after the Suda, the Talmidim would go over to the Mashgiach to be assigned a place to eat the Shabbos meal. Then, Rav Shach said, even though I was shy and it was difficult, I went over to the Mashgiach and told him I had no place to eat. And every Friday night that I went to him, he would assign me a home in which he eat the Shabbos Suda. Rav Shach said this is something for which he had to do tshuva. When it came to his learning, he did not ask for an extra candle. When it came to eating, to his stomach, he did. What did he do for his learning? Rav Shach said he went around the tables and scraped the remaining wax that remained after a Talmud melted his candle onto the table and learned night seder. A little bit of the wax was left. And Rav Shach said he walked around, scraped the wax together, pressed it together with a wick, and used it for his extra night seder. Rav Shach said that Maisim Mashichim Zazah, when it came to eating, he wasn't shy. When it came to candles, he was. And that, he said, is why he started to lose his eyesight. What I'm learning from this is the idea, don't say that we take for granted the ability to be able to learn. At any hour, we have electric lights, we have comfortable and warm homes. Look at this. Rav Shach had to scrape together wax to be able to do it. Generations earlier, Klal Yisrael began, Yaakov Avinu had to carry oil to be able to do that. And for us, it's so easy, and yet we find it so difficult. Perhaps we should take an appreciation of the fact that Torah is so available to us nowadays. Let's move on to something else in the parasha. Rashi in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin brings that Yaakov Avinu said that Lavan had fooled him many times. Lavan had cheated him many, many times. Asura mind him. Rashi has a lashon shehichlif tenai meyapam, that there were 100 times that Lavan cheated Yaakov Avinu. In the Ayelas Hashachar, Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman brings a maisa. I would think I would find this in a Hasidic sefer, but no. Rabbi Aaron Leib brings the following maisa. He said that in Tznas on one Shabbos, the Alshach gave a drasha. Rabbi Leib Alshach gave a drasha, and he enumerated 100 different ramais that Lavan did to Yaakov, obviously collecting it from drashos or midrashim. And he listed the 100 ramais that Lavan did to Yaakov. The Arizal was in the audience, and afterwards he went over to the Alshach, and the Alshach commented, and he said to the Arizal, "I saw you start laughing in the middle. Why were you laughing at?" So the Arizal said the following. He said, "From Shemayim, Lavan came down to listen to your drasha. And as you were enumerating each of the 100 things, Lavan nodded his head. However, when you came to one of them, Lavan muttered to himself, he said, 'Oh, Chaval Shalei Chashavti Alzeh. That's what I didn't think of. It's a shame. I wish I would have thought of it.' And at that moment, I laughed." So I guess the Alshach got 99 out of 100 correct. Some story. Why does Rabbi Leib Steinman bring this? To teach a lesson. He says, we learn from here that the midos of a person remain attached to the person even after he's in the Olam HaEmes. Even after a person dies and goes up to Shemayim, whatever midos rise, as in the case of the Baba, or midos tovos, hopefully in our case, that all the midos that a person has in this world, whatever he makes of himself, that remains a part of him for always. And therefore, even though Lavan had already been in the Olam HaEmes, when it came before him one more good idea, he said, "Chaval Shalei Chashavti Alzeh. I wish I would have thought of that trick as well." Even though in the Olam HaEmes he's punished for his dishonesty. Nevertheless, Kach Hi Midos HaNeshama, whatever midos we get in this world, they stay with us. Rabbi Leib Steinman has a second lesson to learn from this. How keeping Shabbos Kodesh, keeping Shabbos holy, is an extraordinary thing for a neshama. Even the neshama of Lavan had a respite from Gehenna on Shabbos, imagine. To the degree that a person keeps Shabbos, the Shabbos will be shomer him. And specifically he mentions that at the end of Shabbos, when Shabbos ends, people run away from Shabbos. We shouldn't run away from the Shabbos. To the degree that we keep the Shabbos going, we have the Shabbos. The Torah brings in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, that that's why we have a custom to say V'ata Kodesh Yishiv to Yisrael to say Kedusha, Shabbos exits. The Shabbos should end with an expression of Kedusha. And that's something which we will have for always. And so, this is the second very interesting incident that applies the second Nakuda in this week's parasha. The third thought for the parasha. This week's parasha, it was something Ramesha often said, which is rather famous, I would just like to elaborate on it. It's known that one of Ramesha's themes was that the Jews who came to America originally used to say, it's hard to keep Shabbos. And therefore their children grow up with an attitude, it's hard to keep your Shabbos. And many reject it. We're supposed to be left to the of our children. Show them the beauty of Shabbos, the beauty of Jesus. And that's Ramesh said, so this week's parasha. We find in this week's parasha that Yaakov Avinu was commanded to leave the house of Laban. And he relates this to Rachel and Leah. He could have just said, God said we leave, and certainly they would have left with him. But that's not what he did. He explained to them that it's good for us to leave, that it's appropriate for us to leave. And therefore, let's go. Why did he have to say that? They were leaving because it was Ratzon Hashem. The answer, says Ramesha, is that even when it's Ratzon Hashem, a person has to look to see it in a positive light. I'd like to add to this a part I saw in my study of Shir HaShirim, which we are doing now, in the Hakels on the secular holidays. I saw a beautiful thought regarding a pasuk in Perek Dalet. In Perek Dalet, the Rabbi Nishalem is talking to Klal Yisrael. He says, "Devash v'cholav tachas l'sheinech." I admire the honey and milk that's under your tongue, which we understand to mean the Torah that Jews learn, referred to here as honey and milk. Question is that the expression milk and honey is mentioned 13 times in Tanakh outside of this place. And in all places, the milk is mentioned first and the honey second. Why here does it say Devash v'cholav, honey first and milk second? And the answer is that normally milk comes before honey. Why? Because milk is the sustenance. It's what a child lives on. The baby grows up living on milk. Milk is what sustains a person. It's what a person needs. Devash, honey, sweet things, they're extra. They're mice rice, they're luxus. They're things that are luxuries. They're things that people enjoy. But they're second. The necessities first, the luxuries second. Here, the pasuk is talking about Torah study. When it comes to Torah study, devash is first. Because the mesikus, the sweetness, is an essential part. It's not a luxury. It's not extra. It's not maestros. Now, when a person studies Torah in a sweet way, when we learn with our children, that it be in a positive way, in a sweet way, is a necessity in Limudat Torah. It's the essential of Limudat Torah. And therefore, devash comes first. Devash is as essential as kolam when it comes to Limudat Torah. What a beautiful thought. And with these three thoughts, let me now end with a difficulty I had, a question that I had on the parasha. We find that Yaakov Avinu decides it's the time to leave Laban's home. When does he make this decision? So the pasuk tells us in Pasuk Chasei, Kashiyal Nerachal Asya Yisef, Ayyavi Yaakov Laban Shafeini. Well, Yaakov decides to leave when Yosef is born. And Rashi explains, Shenoimot Sitmei Shalesa. He couldn't leave till a child of Rachel was born, because Rachel's descendants, they are the antidote to the poison of Esau. And it says in the pasuk, "Vayeves Yaakov Eish, Ves Yosef Behava, Ves Yosef Bakash." The idea being that Yosef's birth allowed Yaakov now to go back and confront Esau. Beautiful. However, later in Parshas Vayishlach, in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Tes, Rashi goes through the mathematics, the age of Yaakov at every point in the episodes here of Parshas Vayetze. And there, Rashi brings that Yaakov Avinu was 91 years old at the time that Yosef was born. 91 years old. He came to Laban's house at the age of 77, which means Yosef was born at the end of 14 years. If Yosef was born at the end of 14 years, then it's no surprise. Why did Yaakov say, now it's time to leave? Simple. Because he had obligated himself to be there 7 years, and then to be there a second 7 years. He had to stay 14 years. There was no reason for him to stay any longer. So what is bothering Rashi here? Why did Yaakov Avinu leave? Because the 14 years were up. What's the raya that it's because Yosef was born? And a proof to this is the fact that Yaakov stayed 6 more years once he made an arrangement to be paid for it. So he did stay longer. Obviously, the reason he was going to leave at 14 years was because the time was up. So why does Rashi seem to say that he was waiting for Yosef's birth and he said, no, I could leave. He could not leave earlier. He was obligated to stay at the end of the 7 years because of the 7 years he had pledged to work for Rachel. So this is a nekuda which I believe needs explanation. And with that, I wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Parshas Vayetze.